Memes. They are everywhere. It's those pictures on social media, sometimes with words, sometimes without, that people use and reuse to convey some message or feeling. Now, yesterday, we heard about the origins of the meme before memes. Kilroy was here. Today, we're going to dive into what has to be the most local meme of all time. Just ask Scumbag Steve, a.k.a. Blake Boston of Millis, Massachusetts. And I want to be clear, that is not me being judgy. That is the official name of the meme, which went viral 10 years ago after a stranger pulled a picture his mother took of him from his MySpace. His face has been paired with phrases like, makes fun of your job, unemployed, is watching Star Wars, roots for the Empire, makes waitress list all beers on tap, orders a Bud Light. But as Ben Brock Johnson and Amory Sievertson from WBUR's Endless Thread podcast found out, there is more to Blake Boston than his baggy jeans and backward hat. Ben and Amory spoke with Blake and his mom for an episode of this season's Endless Thread podcast dedicated to memes. We're going to bring Amory and Ben in a minute, but first, let's hear some of that episode. You will hear Ben first asking Blake and his mom about Mother's Day.
Is it true that for previous Mother's Days, you used to ask Blake to
steal
some flowers?
Yes,
is that true?
Yes, it is, and I find that, you know, it's nature. I mean, okay, it is in somebody's yard, but, you know, you would think.
It was like drive-by. She literally drive me around. So we lived in Medfield at the time. So we would literally drive around, what do you call this, Norfolk County, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah.
And there would be like 5-6 different towns. And then by the time we were done, she'd have a bouquet of all different colored lilacs. It would literally probably, if you bought it at the store, be like a $300 bouquet because it was so large. I bought her flowers one time. I bought her lilacs.
And I was mad I gave her the silent treatment. I was like, this is something, this is a tradition that we need to do all the time.
Oh,
but he would get some, one guy chased us and he's like, Mom, floor it. And I was like, I would be the driver.
Yeah, that was the year I was on probation and you made me do it. I was like, Mom, you're going to get me arrested.
Oh, all the time.
I feel like you're already answering this question, but like, how would you describe your relationship to each other?
Well, I don't really like him.
I don't even remember her name.
This couldn't be further from the truth. Blake and Susan finish each other's stories, each other's sentences, each other's jokes. You couldn't find two peas more in a pod.
But a lot of close parent-child relationships are forged in the fires of trauma. And if you're lucky, the love and humor and struggle that can come after that trauma. So it also makes sense, because Blake Boston and his mom have some trauma. Some of it unrelated to the meme, some of it very related to the meme.
Like, sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you.
But they do. Hi, I'm Susan Boston, and I live in Millis, Dogtown. All right, that's awful because somebody will listen to it.
I never heard that term.
Okay. Someone's like, there's that freaking Sue Boston over there talking trash. Then you're going to call me in hysterics. Get down here, please.
No, I'm Susan Boston, and I live in Massachusetts. No. And I'm a mom and a grandmother and a wife. How about you, Blake, now that you can speak?
Well, Cynthia asked. My name is Blake Boston, a.k.a. Scumbag Steve, and I am a loving father, cook by profession / musician, and I'm just, you know, doing my thing, raising my kids, having a good time while doing it, you know?
Don't forget your fiancé.
Oh, my God.
That would have been a complete...
Take two.
You just heard an excerpt from episode 2 of the new season of WBUR's Endless Thread. We caught up with co-hosts Anne-Marie Sievertson and Ben Brock Johnson and asked them about the relationship between Blake and his mom.
Oh, that interaction really captures it all. I mean, I am truly in awe of this mother and son who... I think the heart of their relationship, Tiziana, is that they don't keep anything from each other. They just have this level of honesty, and there's a transparency there that I think is truly rare between any parent and child. And that leads to interactions like the one you just heard, which are unexpected and surprising and refreshing all at the same time.
they just clearly love each other so much. And I think that some of that rapport, some of that realness and honesty, I do believe came from the experience that they went through when Blake became this truly ubiquitous. I mean, I think, you know, we came across a couple of suggestions saying that there were as many as 10 million, 5 million to 10 million versions of this meme online that really paint Blake Boston as a terrible person, right? Like, and it's all in jest, but can you imagine a world in which your mom takes a picture of you, a silly sort of candid picture, and puts it up on your MySpace page in order to try to help you promote your music, which is what he was doing at the time. And that becomes the origin of the entire internet laughing at you, effectively, for years and years and years. And I think that that really threw them for a loop, as it would anyone. And, you know, we talk in the episode about the various parts of their life that this impacted. You know, Blake, at the time that the meme was really ubiquitous, he was in a custody battle, and the meme sort of threatened the outcome of that and him getting custody of his two sons, just the way that it impacted both of them in dealing with the trauma and his mom and him sort of trying to defend themselves at a certain point from the internet trolls. And of course, you know, as we all know, there's no winning that battle, right? So yeah, in some ways, you know, Blake's mom, Susan, really feels responsible doubly, right? Responsible as his mother, but also responsible as the person who effectively created the meme.
So Amory, there is a cruelty here. From the term scumbag, Steve, which just, I gotta admit, I think I've just said that word in this segment more times than I've said it in my entire life. It's a terrible word, right?
Yeah, and it cuts.
Yes.
I hear ya.
And then the characteristics, the traits that people ascribed to him. Talk a little bit about that. First, maybe illustrate a few more of those lines. And then the collective cruelty that people felt free to lay onto someone else's identity.
In captioning the photo and even in calling it Scumbag Steve, they're labeling this person as a terrible person. And I actually see it differently. I think it is so specific in a way that hurts a little bit more than saying he's a terrible person. Because if you say someone's a terrible person, you think they have done something truly horrific. They've committed some horrible, horrific crime. And the specificity of the Scumbag Steve captions, things like asks the server to name every craft beer on tap and then orders a Bud Light, that feels more specific. You're not saying this person is a horrible human being. You're saying that they are
kind of
worthless. Yeah, kind of, you know, not worthy of that much respect, or they're finding it inconveniencing people, or they're a little dishonest. To me, like, the cruelty of it is in the specificity that people were able to identify scumbaggish behaviors that felt so real to the point that, you know, Blake himself was wondering, I mean, I've maybe done some of these things, but I'm not a bad person. I'm just a human being who has, you know, made some mistakes. And maybe one time I did drink a little too much and did something ridiculous. So I think, to me, that's kind of at the core of it, is that the more specific you get with memes, honestly, the further they spread, because you tap into something that feels custom made for you. And also the more it can potentially hurt, because for even for Blake, the line got a little blurry and he wasn't sure if he should lean into the scumbag identity or really try to shy away from it and say, no, that's not me. And in the meantime, lines were crossed in the process where, you know, Blake would see captions that had to do with disrespecting women or taking advantage of women. And that was a line that he really wanted to draw and say, no, I would never do that. Like, maybe I've borrowed someone's lighter and forgotten to give it back or just didn't give it back, but I would never do that specific thing that you said.
So you also see him kind of struggle with, like, fully taking on the mantle. Like, right after the meme blew up, he really leaned into it, right? Like, he sort of leaned into the character. He made a rap song. He went and went to conventions and appeared at conventions and really tried to kind of lean into the character. But over time, you can also see that the toll that that took on his life and his mom's life, and also, like, just his identity, like, his own, the own, like, confusion about his own identity.
It does seem like if you lean into letting someone else define you, that eventually you might lose yourself.
Absolutely.
So let's stay with this defining idea, because the other thing that struck me, and of course you can't make up the irony of the fact that his name is actually Blake Boston. and it does feel like some of this was sort of the collective glee of hating on what people think is a stereotype of the white guy from Boston. Am I projecting there, or is that legit?
No, absolutely. I think that's absolutely true. He becomes this avatar for a particular kind of Boston or Massachusetts area person, right? And especially Boston dudes, I think, you know, he really becomes this avatar for that stereotype. It's really interesting how in some ways it feels on point in terms of who he is, or at least his demeanor, but like it's also so not who he is.
Yeah, especially because the core of Scumbag Steve is a disregard for others. And that's not Blake. And it is really obvious once you actually spend time around him that, wow, how unfair that you were labeled someone who has a total disregard for others.
You know, the two of you have talked a number of times about the love between he and his mom, just the love, the respect, the openness, the honesty, the transparency. And I guess I find myself thinking, okay, so are there any memes out there that really come from a place of love? Is that even possible? Are there loving memes?
So this is a great question. And I think that, so one of the episodes that we did, spoiler, hopefully not too many spoilers here, but one of the episodes that we did in our series was about the Rickroll. You know, if you don't know what the Rickroll is, I hope you find out soon, but it's...
You're about to get Rickrolled in 3, 2, 1.
Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down.
So, Rick Astley, baby!
So it's when Rick Astley gets played. You think that you're gonna click on a link and go somewhere and get some pertinent information. Instead, you get the Rick Astley singing to you via the music video for Never Gonna Give You Up. But that one, to us, even though it's a prank, I think we ended up feeling, and all the folks that we talked to for that particular episode, ended up feeling like at the end of the day, it was a really positive vibes meme. Like, even if you're getting pranked, it's kind of fun and hilarious. And it's a song that just, you know, kind of makes you want to dance and laugh. So I think that would be my answer. I don't know about Amory, but that one feels pretty positive to me.
I would definitely say we could use more positive love fueled memes. One that comes to mind for me is the "You're doing amazing, sweetie," which I don't even remember the origin. I mean, that's when you know something has truly taken on a memetic identity, is that I literally do not remember the origin of that phrase. But when people started assigning that to various things to kind of just say, like, it's fine, it's going to be fine. You know, like, you're doing amazing, sweetie, even if you're not, or even if you don't feel like you are.
The second you said it, I was like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Even though you weren't actually even talking to me.
I think this is a good challenge. I take it as a challenge, Tiziana, at least, that you've put on the table, is that, like, can we make more positive things go viral? Like Bernie mittens, right? I mean, that is something that he was superimposed in all of these kind of lovely or clever or creative ways. And we need more that has a little more purity of spirit, I think, in memes, because it's possible.
All right. Are you ready for the last hard question for both of you?
Yeah.
Bring it on.
What is something you learned about humanity that kind of rocked your world a little bit from studying all these memes? Ben?
I think that in looking at this series, something that I've understood, or something that blew my mind a little bit about humanity, is just the kind of layered nature of communication and how memes specifically, just how rich they can be when it comes to communicating not just one idea, but like multiple ideas. It can really deliver a lot of information. And we've looked at examples of this in places where there's actually a lot of political strife. You know, in one of our episodes, we look at a meme that became really popular in Kenya. Mm-hmm. And in Kenya, people are like being hauled into court for memeing, because they're sort of questioning the government and how the government interacts with the IMF.
The International Monetary Fund.
Yeah. And so like there's a really interesting aspect to it too, where memes can actually be really powerful in questioning authority.
The core of memes is, and why they succeed is that people want to connect with each other. People want to relate to each other. And especially during a pandemic when we can't connect with each other face to face as much as we would like to, the fact that someone on the other side of the globe can share a joke that I might find funny because it says something fundamentally about us as human beings or about art that we both like, that's really powerful. And that should not be downplayed or overlooked, that memes are this simpler way for two people who have never met each other and never will meet each other to connect over a shared interest or feeling or cultural reference.
That was Amory Sievertson and Ben Brock Johnson, co-hosts of WBUR's podcast Endless Thread. You can listen to the full episodes from this season at WBUR.org, or you can download in podcast form wherever you get your podcasts.